Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. Is this good government? Somebody told me they've been waiting all week to hear what I have to say. I said, that makes one of us. No. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Jesus, help us to see you today. Help us to see your wisdom, your kingdom, your plan today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There was a government surveyor who had been contracted by the federal government to go out and survey some land in a particular county. This surveyor got to a farmhouse, and he went up to the farmer at this house and told the farmer he was there from the federal government, showed him his badge, and said he was there to survey the farmer's land, the farmer's farm. Well, the farmer did not like that one bit. He thought the federal government can't be up to any good here surveying my land. They're probably going to end up taking my land. So he told the surveyor that he could not survey his property. He was not hospitable at all to this government employee. Well, the government employee got indignant his own self, and he pulled out his badge and he pulled out all this paperwork, and he said, I have the authority of the federal government to survey any property in this county that I so choose. So the farmer read over the paperwork a little bit, and he realized if he went against this man could call the police and he would be arrested, or could be arrested. So reluctantly, he opened up the gate and allowed the government employee into the field where he could begin surveying his property. The farmer walked about 100 feet down to a different gate, and he opened up another gate, letting out one of his fiercest bulls into the same field that government employee was surveying the land. The surveyor dropped all of his surveying equipment and began to run. The farmer yelled at him, "Show him your paperwork! Tell him about your authority!" There's a lot of that farmer in us when it comes to governing authorities. Our sinful nature resists any government's authority's claim on us. Did you say sinful nature, Pastor? Yes. Well, actually, I didn't say it. Paul said it right here in Romans 13, 1 through 7. I'm just repeating what Paul said. So if you got a problem with it, you have to take it up with Paul. We go, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Except for Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. Our sinful natures resist any governing authority, their claim on us. Every year here at Living Hope Assembly of God, we get a yellow form from the Michigan state government. And my wife fills this out as part of the secretarial duty. She fills this out. It helps us to keep our name, Living Hope Assembly of God. We have to pay $20 and fill out this form to keep the name Living Hope Assembly of God every year. So she fills this out. We send in the $20. And I don't think it's not happened once, not once, the form gets sent back to us every time. With a note attached, a letter attached, saying that this part needs to be filled out differently this way. So we fill it back out, and we send it back in. And on several times, it has happened 2 to 3 to 4 times, the paperwork gets sent back to us, telling us that this part needs to be changed. So we send it back, and they send it back. This part needs to be changed. And it really tests my wife's salvation. This year, she actually had to call and say, we sent it back 3 or 4 times, and she said, what do you want me to change? We've changed what you told us to change, and the person at the government's office said, oh, the law has been changed, so this needs to be changed. We just didn't change the form. You know. And then I feel like that farmer, and I want to open up the gate. But Paul in Romans 13, 1 through 7 describes God's way that Christians will interact with those in governing authorities. We want to rebel, we want to resist, we want to open the gate and let the bull out. But Paul uses two words here, submit and subject. Our attitudes toward the governing authorities should be to submit and to subject. And that kind of sticks in our crawl a little bit. We are a democracy, or I guess a better way of saying that would be we are a constitutional republic. So we get to vote. We have laws put in place by the people that form our government. And if we voted for the people that are in office, we tend to like the people that we voted for, being a constitutional republic. And if we did not vote for the person in office, we tend not to like them. But the Holy Spirit is going to have to work on us to change that attitude in us that does not like the ones that we did not vote for through His Word, through His Spirit, so that we subject ourselves and submit instead of resist and rebel. God's grace is our motivation in how we are changed to have this Christ-like attitude. So number one, let's go through this. God has established all government authority. God has established all government authority. And again, I didn't say that. Paul said that in Romans 13, 1 through 7. And that come as quite a shock to the Christians living in Rome at the time when Paul wrote his letter. They were living in the capital city of one of the most wicked and cruel empires that has ever existed. The ones who invented the cross. If you got in their way, they had a plan to deal with anyone who wanted to rebel against them. Do you know the emperor at the time when Paul wrote Romans chapter 13? Nero. You heard of Nero before? That's because he's infamous. He fiddled while Rome burned. And I know some of you here think Donald Trump is Nero. And I know some of you here think Hillary Clinton's Nero. But I'll tell you right now, they are not Nero. You are not Nero until you're Nero. You're not Hitler until you're Hitler. We should stop saying things like that. Let me give you an example of Nero, of what he did. He would throw these garden parties, and they would last throughout the night, and they had no electric light, so he would have to light these torches all around his garden. And you would have to get something that burned, that would burn for a long time. So Nero come up with the idea, I'll get Christians and use them as human torches around my garden parties. Nero is the man who put the Apostle Paul to death. Nero is the man who put the Apostle Peter to death. Yet, in spite of this cruelty, which Paul was very much aware of, in spite of this immorality that Paul was very much aware of, and in spite of this persecution of Christians that Paul was very much aware of, he said that Christians must submit and subject to the governing authorities. The command to submit and subject to the governing authorities remains the same for us today. Why do we do that? We do that because God is still the one who establishes governing authorities. God still uses the governing authorities to bring blessings to his people and punishment to those who are doing wrong. Have these verses been used and misused and abused by many people in power? Yes, they have. Have they been used as a way of telling people to be quiet and do not speak back at all against injustice and evil? Have they been used to squall any resistance to force that has been illegal, that would have been unjust and immoral? Yes, they have been used that way. The apartheid regime in South Africa used Romans 13, 1 through 7 to keep the black African as a second-class citizen for generations. The United States government used Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7 to mistreat Native Americans and steal land and lie about treaties that they made with them. The Southern government used Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7 to keep African Americans, blacks, as slaves for generation after generation. So these verses have been abused and misused by the governing authorities. But listen to this. Paul is speaking to the Christian church here in these verses. He is not speaking to the governing authorities. That's very important. The audience that he is speaking to, he is speaking to the Christian church. God doesn't want a society to collapse in chaos because there's bullies that do what they like and get away with it. So he's not speaking to them. He's speaking to the Christian church and their attitude towards governing authorities. God wants human beings to be in an ordered, properly functioning society. He will speak to governing authorities in other places, and he still does. But right now, in these verses, he is speaking to the church. So three times in the first two verses, Paul states God has established all governing authority. Three times, two verses. In God's dealings with his people, he has used governing authorities throughout the generations. You can go back and look in the Old Testament to bring blessing or punishment as needed. He's used all governing authorities, good and bad. In the Old Testament, he used the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were power-hungry, control freaks, evil, but he used them to bring punishment on his people Israel. He spoke to Israel that punishment was coming. He was not speaking to the Assyrians, but God even used that governing authority of Assyria to bring punishment on his people Israel. He used Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. If there was ever a more evil man that ever lived, he's top 10, I would say. But God even used Nebuchadnezzar to put his own people Israel into captivity for punishment for disobedience. And he told them through the prophets, through Jeremiah, he was speaking to his people. He was not speaking to Nebuchadnezzar that this is going to happen because I'm sovereign and I could do this. Now, when they repented and when the people of God returned to the Lord, God did away with the Babylonian Empire and Nebuchadnezzar, because God judges those evil empires as well. And he brought about Cyrus and the Persian Empire to set his people free and to place them back in the promised land, to send them back home. And Persia wasn't much better than Assyria and Babylon, if any better whatsoever. God uses every governing authority, even evil ones. And many times, that's all there is to use. Because we live in this broken, fallen, power-hungry world. So God has to be sovereign all of this and use the governing authorities. He uses even evil ones. Now, he's establishing a kingdom. He's establishing a people. He doesn't want us to act like the governing authorities, especially those evil governing authorities. He's wanting us to act like his son Jesus, who has established a kingdom, who is establishing a people. That will reflect his ideal when we act like his son Jesus and act like the principles in his kingdom. No government authority completely reflects God's ideal. That is what the church is supposed to be for. We are the ones that reflect God's ideal. At least we should. We should reflect the kingdom of God. But God is sovereign, and he uses every governing authority as he chooses, for good and for punishment. Was it just chance that at the time Jesus was born, the Son of God was born into the world, that the most powerful man in the world, Caesar Augustus, issued a decree that all the world should be taxed, that all the world should have to take a census of the entire Roman world, and thus setting up getting Jesus to Bethlehem where he would be born? It was not a coincidence. God put Caesar Augustus in place, and he used that governing authority. Was it just chance that the good news about Jesus' victory over sin and death was sent out at a time when the world had the best roads that it ever had in history, had the best postal service that it had ever had in history, had the safest travel by land and by sea that it ever had in history, and that had a semblance of law and order better than any time that it ever had in history? It was not a coincidence. God had set this up because of his sovereignty to be able to get out the good news better than it ever had in any time in history. See, these circumstances came about through the one who establishes all authority. I know Caesar thought he was setting up the things the way he thought they should be set up and using Rome to do this. But God is over Caesar. And God had a different plan to establish a kingdom, and he was using these governing authorities to do so. But what about the wicked governments, you say? What about Hitler? Everybody always says that. What about Hitler? What about Saddam Hussein? Did God establish their authority? Well, it says God establishes all authority. So yes, God establishes authority of even the worst and most wicked of governments, of leaders. But the fact that they were sinful and they abused and used people and abused and used their power and authority to hurt people is their responsibility, and they were judged, and they will be judged. God established the authority, but it is not his fault that wicked men, as all of us are, and there are more people who are more wicked by degrees, I agree with that, but God still establishes all authority. So how about those crooked politicians in our own government? Is God responsible for their authority? Yes. God gives authority to those that he chooses. So whether the government is good or evil, whether your candidate is elected or not, whether we agree with the government or not, we still submit and subject ourselves to the governing authorities because we believe God has established all authority. You say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that that last 5 minutes, nah, I don't believe that. Well, let's hear what Jesus has to say. He's the ultimate authority. When Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, the governor of Rome, an evil man, if there ever was one, put people to death, put people to cross, on the cross, would go in and help destroy the temple, would go in and help destroy the Jewish people. He was an evil man. Well, when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, this evil man, Jesus corrected his understanding, Pilate's understanding of government authority. Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Here's my paper. Here's my badge. I have the authority to either free you or to kill you. The authority of Rome." Jesus looked at him and said, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." John 19:11. He told Pontius Pilate, and he told all of Rome, all your authority comes from above. One of the biggest hurdles we face in this country in our attitude about governing authorities, to get our attitude, as Paul says, to submit and subject ourselves to the governing authorities, is to first see that the governing authorities as being established by God. Why are you telling us all this? What's the good of this? Is to stop us from being anxious. I'm not doing this to protect the governing authorities. I have opinions as well. And half of you probably run me out of here for my opinions, and the other half would agree with me. I'm doing this, I'm speaking to the church so we can stop being anxious about government authority. Comedian/atheist Bill Maher this week interviewed President Barack Obama. And before that interview, he said that he was anxious about this election coming up Tuesday. He's anxious because he's left-wing Democrat, atheist. He is terrified that Donald Trump's going to win. But being anxious is not just confined to the left-wing atheists in this election. From what I've seen, the left-wing leaning Christians are anxious, and the right-wing leaning Christians are anxious about this election. Just want it to be over. I want my person to win, and I want it to be over. Whatever happens, God has established the authority, even over the ones that we see as evil. When His Holy Spirit works this conviction in us through His law and through the gospel, then we will submit and subject to the governing authorities. Why? Because we are submitting to the sovereignty of God. That's why we submit and subject, and that's why we believe this. Not because the governing authorities are good, but because God is good. We're never going to believe this unless we truly believe in the sovereignty of God, that He raises up leaders and takes down leaders as He chooses for His will, for our good, to establish His kingdom. The sovereignty of God. Say that, will you? The sovereignty of God. That's what I'm preaching today. I'm not preaching that one is good, one is bad, one is evil, one is not. I'm preaching the sovereignty of God. The Christians at that time when Paul wrote Romans 13 was regarded as the scum of the earth by the Romans. And Paul was telling them they must not do anything to add additional reputation to themselves as being troublemakers, as being rebellious, as ones who want to take down and fight these governing authorities. No good would come for this for the Christians, because you don't want to face Rome, because Rome's going to win every time. You don't want to fight Rome like Rome. You don't want to fight the cross with the cross. It would do no good for the Christians. It would do no good for the cause of the Gospels by the followers of Jesus Christ being regarded as crazy dissidents. Do not pick unnecessary quarrels with the lesser lords. Why do you not pick unnecessary quarrels with the lesser lords? Because we know that Jesus is Lord of lords. Number two. Governing authorities are meant to bring blessings from God. Governing authorities are meant to bring blessings from God. And I'm glad Paul said it, not me. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For he is God's servant to do you good. The person who wins Tuesday is God's servant to do you good. If you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. So the man or the woman who wins Tuesday is God's servant to do you good. Or the man or the woman who wins Tuesday is God's servant to bring punishment as God sees fit. Those in authority are God's servant to do us good. They bring us blessings from God. And I know your initial reaction when I said that was, yeah, right. What do you mean by blessings? The government just takes my money and doesn't give me a thing. I've said that too. Governing authority is necessary in a world where evil flourishes when unchecked. I don't know why God has sovereignly chosen to do this, but he has chosen to use governing authorities to keep law and order, to bring goodness and punishment to his people for now. Yes, he is establishing his kingdom through his church, through his people, but he uses governing authorities. And I'm going to mention some things that the governing authorities in our country that God has used for good. Now, I know every one of these that I name can be argued for their effectiveness and can be argued for the corruption that they may have, because people who are in governing authorities can be corrupt. But I'm going to mention some things that the government does for our good, the governing authorities have done for our good. We have state and federal highways. For our good. We have libraries, schools, and universities for our good. That's the best thing the government does, libraries. Oh, I love the library. I love the library. Every time you walk in there, go, this is good. This is good. We have law and order through police departments and our justice system. We have fire protection. We have freedom to worship and practice our religion. We have free trade and fair business practices. They maintain an army to protect our borders from invasion. Does this mean we like everything the government does? No. Does this mean there's not a discussion to be had whether they're being effective and not being corrupt? No, it does not mean that. The fact remains that God uses the authority he establishes for our good. That's here in the United States. Other parts of the world would have their list as well. Now, the governing authorities can also bring punishment to those who don't obey. You break the speed limit, you get a fine, you get a ticket. Anybody ever got one of those tickets from a camera? You go through the light and it takes a picture of you, then a week later you get somebody, oh, I see that hand. I see that hand. I say that those things are government entrapment. That's what I say. Pay your fine. If we abuse our privileges as citizens, the government may take away our privileges from us for our own safety and many times for the safety of others. If your spouse is abusing you, you should call the governing authorities, 911, the police, and that sucker needs to go to jail. Oh, but I love him and I want to see him saved. He can get saved in jail. Or she can get saved in jail. In fact, you might be stopping them from getting saved because you're stopping what God has set up to punish them for their sin and they never even realize. Our government uses prisons and death penalties, the tools of our government, which brings God's punishment to the citizens of the U.S., although both can and should be and have been debated to their effectiveness and morality. So should we just be doormats and set in jail if we were arrested unjustly or abused unjustly by the governing authority? Should we just sit there? No. Back in the book of Acts, Peter was arrested unjustly by that evil, wicked King Herod. He was put in jail. And the church didn't stand for this, so they called a prayer meeting. They began to pray. So God sent an angel to bust Peter out of the governing authority's jail. He was the original Shawshank Redemption, you know, just got him out of there. God has the right, the authority, and the power to overrule any wicked governing authority that he has established. Listen to this. Hear that. God has the power, the authority, and the right to overrule any wicked, evil governing authority that he has established. That's what the church was doing. I do believe in peaceful, gentle, wise protest. That's what the church was doing that got Peter out of jail. What I don't believe in is angry, forceful, foolish protest. And I see far too much of that. God will use governing authorities, whether they are good or evil, to bless his people and to punish wrong. He uses the authority of the government to maintain peace and foster prosperity. Even if that government is persecuting Christians, God will still use their authority to bless believers. Why? Because he is sovereign. He is completely sovereign. You heard of a sovereign state, a sovereign government. They don't have anything on God. He is completely in control. I am not preaching the rightness and wrongness of governing authorities today. I am preaching the sovereignty of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So number three. I don't know if you believe me yet or not, but how to submit to governing authorities. I guess that should be a question mark. So if you want to put a question mark, how to submit to governing authorities. How are you supposed to submit and subject to these governing authorities, even the ones you don't agree with? I'll give you one word. One word. It's a Christian word. Give. Give. If you want to have the attitude of Paul, the attitude of Jesus concerning governing authorities, if you want to submit and subject, here's your one word, give. To those governing authorities that you don't agree with, give. Give everyone, those governing authorities, what you owe them. If it's taxes, then taxes. If it's revenue, then revenue. If it's respect, then respect. If it's honor, then honor. Because that is the opposite of opening the gate and letting the bull out. I would hope the Christian church, and I have not seen it, but I pray it goes this way, when it comes to governing authorities, not that we always agree, but we are the ones who give, especially in the manner of honor and respect, the most. That attitude toward governing authorities can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to do this because it will take away the anxiety. It'll take away the worry. It will take away the fear. You know what Peter was doing when he was in the jail cell? He had been wrongly arrested, falsely arrested by the evil governing authorities. You know what he was doing? What was he doing? He wasn't praising the Lord. What was he doing? Wasn't praying. What was he doing? Wasn't singing. He was asleep. I know Tuesday night you're going to be sitting up watching MSNBC or CNN or Fox News going, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't. Peter was sound asleep. He was not anxious about these evil, wicked governing authorities. I want that to be the attitude of the church. Now, the most obvious things that Americans can give to our government is taxes. We give our taxes. I don't give my taxes. They take them. Whoever that FICA guy is, I don't know who he is, but he takes it. We give our federal, our state income taxes. We give our property, our sales, and other fees. Now, I'm not debating whether these taxes are too high or unfair. We live in a country where we have the privilege, the right to vote to change the tax system if we so choose. But after we've done that, and we have done that, whatever the law says we have to give and whatever the law says we owe, we give the taxes that we owe. We don't cook the books. We don't fudge the numbers. And we pray for the conviction and the strength to do what is right and to give in these areas. The most difficult thing we struggle to give governing authorities is respect and honor. I love political jokes. I love presidential jokes. Political cartoons, the stand-up comedians. I like Stephen Colbert, I do. Some of you watch the news talking heads, and you just love it when they get on a roll and start trashing the one you don't like. You just love it. Say it again. Tell me how evil, crooked Hillary is. Tell me how evil and corrupt Trump is. You just love it. We love it. We think the worst about the governing authorities. But Paul and God has called us to give respect to them. Why? Because they've earned it? No. Because we respect the one from whom they receive their authority. We respect them not because we respect them, but because we respect the one, capital O, the one from whom they have received their authority. So it doesn't matter if you like the president. It doesn't matter if you like the governor. It doesn't matter if you like the mayor. You must respect their authority. You must honor their authority because when you do so, you are respecting God. There's a Michigan politician that I don't like. Just one. Leave the jokes to me, all right? Let me tell you who it is. I'm not going to tell you. Because I know some of you are going to vote for him Tuesday. Even when I see a sign, there's this feeling inside of me. You ever have that feeling about a politician? Oh, I don't like him. I know you do because I talk to you sometimes. You go, and if somebody says something positive about them, you turn that on them. I can't believe you. I I need the Holy Spirit to change my attitude about this politician that I don't like. I need to give him respect and honor, not because I respect and honor him, but because I respect the one who has given him his authority. So we pray that the Lord would bless them and move them to act wisely. I can sympathize with the farmer. I want to open up the gate. Because the government sometimes seems unfair and repressive, and many times is unfair and repressive. But Paul brings our thinking about the government into line with God's will. Because of God's sovereignty, governing authorities are established by God and bring blessings from God. That encouragement leads us to meet our obligation to the government. It removes anxiety when we give to them what they are due because God is the one who told us to give it to them. Christians today need urgently to consider what it means both that God wants the world to be governed under the rule of appropriate government, appropriate law, and at the same time that Jesus is already installed as the supreme Lord of heaven and earth. God has sovereignly chosen that this is the way things will function for the time while he is establishing his kingdom. So I ask you, is this good government? So let me just relieve some anxiety for you for Tuesday in our Living for Jesus. You have your Living for Jesus there. Number one, go vote your conscience Tuesday. That's a biblical word. Paul used that in Romans chapter 13. He said you do this as a matter of conscience. So you go vote your conscience Tuesday, but don't belittle or become angry at others for voting their conscience. And then go to sleep. And don't be anxious about it. And number two, whoever is president come Wednesday or Thursday or 2 months from now when they get it all straightened out, Jesus is Lord over all. And I hope that relieves some anxiety. Lord, we praise you. We honor you. If it had been us, we'd have chose a different way. We'd have chose our person. But oh, how we would have messed things up. So, Lord, we don't say that things are not evil when they're evil. We do. You say it more so than we do. But at the same time, because of your sovereignty, we trust you, and we'll give to the governing authorities. Taxes, yes. Respect and honor. Lord, we can't do this on our own. Our society has become saturated with politics. I'd say over the last 30 years, it's become our God in many ways. So, Lord, we repent of that right now in Jesus' name. I repent of that. We repent of that in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we ask you to give us the mind and the heart and the will of Christ, that we would view things the way you view them. And if something's evil and wrong, we'll come to you and find the peaceful, gentle, wise ways to protest them. But then we'll go to sleep because we have no anxiety, because we know you're Lord over all. You're completely sovereign. Take away that opening the gate mentality from us and from your church. We submit and subject because we're submitting and subjecting to the sovereign Lord, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this. We honor you for this. If you're not in the kingdom of God, if you've been trusting governing authorities to be your God, to lead you, to guide you, to be everything for you, you're probably anxious. But I'd like to invite you into the kingdom today. We already have a president, a prime minister. He's president of presidents, prime minister of prime minister, king of kings, lord of lords. If you'd like to receive Jesus today, if you'd like to be welcomed into the kingdom, can I just see your hand so I can pray for you this week? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wasn't preaching politics. I was preaching the sovereignty of God. And God has sovereignly chosen you to enter his kingdom today. When you raised your hand, you said, I'd like to come in, please. And he said, sure, come on in. Come in by the blood of the Lamb. Come in because of what I've done for you. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome in my kingdom. Jesus. Jesus, those who raised their hand today, sovereignly welcome them into your kingdom. Give them your grace, your mercy. Cover them by your blood. Cover them by your goodness, your mercy, oh God. Save them. Just tell Jesus, save me. Jesus, would you save me, please? Jesus, would you welcome me, please? Now I'm in your kingdom. I'll do what you say to do while I live in this world. I'll act the way you want me to act while I'm in this world. And one day, your kingdom will completely come, and we'll see you as you are. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. All the nations of the world will come before him and hail him as King of kings, Lord of lords. We believe that. We confess that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe you've been welcomed into the kingdom. You are a Christian. You are a Christ follower. You're a servant of the King. Welcome. Welcome into the family of God. Your first act, you get to stand and worship as a new member in the kingdom of God. So would you stand and let's worship the King of Kings today. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master,
kingdoms will all pass away. Nebuchadnezzar was evil, but he's gone. Assyrians were evil, but no more. Persians, that Nazi regime, and the one you vote for Tuesday will one day be gone. But there's something about that name. 10,000 years from now, he will still be sovereign Lord. And we thank him for that. We thank him for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Lord, I ask that you would bless your people, that you would make your face shine upon them, that you would be gracious to every person here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.